Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Right, my name's Andy. If we've never met before, I'd love to meet you after. Thank you so much for being here. Hello to, as Alan said, hello to everybody online. It is really great that you can join us. Thanks for doing that, and we look forward to when you can be with us in person. And we just want to say to you, you're missed, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Well, we have been in a series on the kingdom of God. If you missed anything and you're like, look, I'm brand new, I just showed up today, what's the kingdom of God? Well, we'll talk a little bit about it today, but there's like six or seven talks on our website about the kingdom of God, and you could, you know, put yourself to sleep if you're having trouble sleeping or something and listen to me talk about the kingdom of God and things like that, so you can catch up with that. Last week, if you weren't here, we had Dr. Rachel Jordan Wolf, who is a passionate evangelist, but also a researcher and statistician, and she and her team are the folks behind the Talking Jesus course, which we've run a couple of times in our church, and it's all about equipping us with confidence to just very simply talk about Jesus with people. And she was with us, and she brought fire and passion of an evangelist, but she also brought statistics and data, which is important as well, around people's openness to faith and this remarkable thing that is happening all around the UK and Ireland that some have called the quiet revival, where people's interest in faith and movement towards faith and movement towards God has really increased. And one of the things she talked about how as the church, she said, you know, we're used to it kind of being like at wintertime, where the world around us has been really cold towards the kingdom of God and the ways of God and church and the Bible and stuff like that. It's been really cold, and we've just gotten used to living in winter where there's no fruit and not much going on, and it's like just huddle in place and keep warm and do your best kind of thing. And she said that the church needs challenge to step out of winter, because actually what's happening is people are warm. They're now warm to belief and faith in God, as the high priests of secular materialism have been found to be bankrupt, and the shaking of the world around us and all the things we put our faith and trust in are now shaking and practically on fire. All of a sudden, the kingdom of God looks like a more attractive alternative, and people are curious and interested about what that might be like and what that might be like for them to begin following Jesus and to have a relationship with him. And so it's actually springtime, and the church thinks it's still winter. And so we're kind of like, nobody would ever want to hear me talk about Jesus or anything like that, when actually people are like, could you please talk to me about Jesus? And she had like statistics and data to prove it. So it's really, really interesting talk. The thing I loved about it most is the things that are having the most traction right now are very, very simple things that anybody could do in our daily lives if we make ourselves available. In other words, you don't have to do the elite SAS level training squad of evangelism, you know, to go out there and do battle with folks or anything like that. It's actually very, very practical, simple things like, could you give away a free Bible to somebody? I could probably do that. I don't know what you think about that, but I could probably do that. And it's almost like God is doing something around us, right? And instead of us feeling like we have to prove something to the world around us, people are actually looking for God before we even talk to them. And they're expecting that we might know how to find him. So, maybe you should listen to that talk. It was really interesting. Anyway, today is going to be the last in our kingdom series. But I want to return to something that's really, really important to our family of churches. And I want to bring in some of the elements of some of the roots of some of the things that Rachel Jordan Wolf talked to us about. Okay? And what I want to talk about is really precious to the Vineyard, like our family of churches. And that is, we all get to play our part in the kingdom ministry of Jesus. And it's also not just that we get to, it's that we're expected that we will play our part of being a disciple and friend of Jesus. In other words, being a follower of Jesus means we actually get to do the things that Jesus did. And we should do that, okay? So all of us, and that's for all of us, right? It's not just for the paid staff. It's not just for Sheena to do now, go over to Sheena or something like that. It's not just for super Christians or something like that, or people that on the outside look like they got it all together and they're faking it till they make it or something like that. It's everyone. Everybody gets to play and to do the stuff that Jesus did, which John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, was really, really famous for saying. But we want to talk today about, well, why do we think we should do that? Why do we think we can, and why do we think that we should? And that gets right to the heart of things that, like Rachel last week was saying, why do we think we can, and why do we think we should talk to people about Jesus? Or why do we think we can or should step into a situation where we sense that God's at work and then step in there and expect the kingdom to come? Or why do we think we should intentionally make lots of space in our everyday lives to be available for whatever Jesus asked us to do? Or why do we think we can and should do the things that we always do, that we go to work to do, we just do them in the way that Jesus would do them if he were us? Why do we think we can do that stuff? So I want to talk about why. But before I talk about why, I just want to warn you that this is a really contested space, these questions and these things that we're talking about. And there's actually some significant obstacles to stepping into this kind of life that really does believe that Jesus gives his ministry away to as friends and as followers. And I've learned this from, like, my life. Like, this is the obstacles that I've bumped into over the years that I've been following Jesus, but also just as leading this church alongside Harmony for 24-ish years. We've just seen two big things. And the first one is mindset, the obstacle of our mindset. And we're really comfortable with thinking that Jesus could do the kingdom stuff, but he's Jesus, so of course he can do it. But like, I'm not him, so that's, I'm out, right? Or the apostles and the people in the Bible, like they're the SAS level elite squad, right? They're the ones, they could probably do it, right? So I have a category for that, but I'm not them either. And some of us probably think, well, pastors, like, they probably should at least try or look like they're trying to do the kingdom stuff, right? But I'm just me. I'm not special. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the really strange and wonderful passage where Jesus is teaching about the strong man, about how he binds the strong man. Anybody remember that talk? A couple of you. Okay, again, you can go back. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can go back in the Wayback Machine on our website and just listen to us talk about that. But anyway, one of the things we said about that is the strong man or the enemy, right? That Jesus has bound him. So his powers are now limited and will be fully eliminated when Jesus returns. But for now, he's bound. He's limited, but he's not gagged. So he's bound and limited, but he still has his voice. And lots of us, we know what the voice of the strong man or the enemy sounds like. And he loves to shout out to us in this specific area, in this part of our mindset. One of the things I'm sure you've heard, I've heard the enemy say is, who do you think you are? What makes you think you could be a good Christian? What makes you think you could see the kingdom of God come? You're of no use. I know what you did way back when, or I know what you did yesterday or 10 minutes ago. You shouldn't even try. Anybody heard that voice before? And when we hear that voice and we listen to that voice and we become quickly unconvinced that we can and should participate in the kingdom ministry of Jesus. And it really boils down to a fundamental question that I've wrestled with and I'm sure you've wrestled with at the root of everything. And here's the question. Does Jesus really trust me? Does Jesus really trust me with his kingdom, with his calling, and with his ministry? The other obstacle kind of flows downstream from that mindset obstacle, and that's the obstacle of margin, or you might say space in our lives, right? Space in our lives to spend time with Jesus and then actually do what he asks of us in every part of our lives. And if we're unconvinced that we can and should live lives of faith and hope and expectation, where we're always on the lookout for the kingdom of God to break into our present reality, and unconvinced that he is asking us to do it or even trusts us to do that, then we're not going to make any real space for it. So I want to talk about that today. And I want to tell a bit of my story. I want to use some of my story to illustrate this, but how I became convinced that Jesus gives away his ministry to his friends and to his followers, his disciples, you might say. And I just want to say that if you've given your life to following Jesus, if you've placed your faith and hope and trust in him, you've believed in him and you're walking with him, you are his disciples and friends. Okay? So this is for us. And if you've never done that before, if you've never given your life to following Jesus, you've never become a Christian, you can have that chance by the end of this talk. So you're included in all this too, and we're absolutely delighted that you're here. Well, here's where we get into my story. This is like back in the olden days. I was in my early 20s, and I was a young theological student, and I was going to a Vineyard church, and I would go to Vineyard church on Sunday, and I'd faithfully go to my small group, and I'd see, like, I'd experience worship like we just experienced, like we were actually connecting with God, and we could feel God's presence amongst us, ministering to us as we were worshiping, and, you know, we would pray for each other, and sometimes we'd even see God do things, and you know, it was just, it was like alive, and, you know, it was the first time I'd ever seen different groups of people. It was in a place called Chicago, you've probably heard of it, or Chicago is the common lingo here. Like, why is that a thing? I've been lived here for 24 years. I don't know why you say Chicago. But anyway, Chicago. And so it was a city of 8 million people, and so there's everybody and anybody is in Chicago, right? And so it was the first church I'd ever seen where people of different races were mingling together. It was the first church I'd ever seen with people who were on the margins of society were sitting next to people who ran their own businesses and were very well off. And just, it was just a mix of everything, and it was like the kingdom was happening all the time. So I would go there on Sundays and go to my small group, and then on the rest of the week, I would go to my theological training school thing. And I was just really confused, because I could see some stuff happening that was deeply attractive, but then I would go to this place, and you know, it was a little bit dead, and I just wasn't sure I was required or supposed to live in this kingdom kind of life, and I just didn't think he would trust me with his kingdom and his ministry. And so one of the classes I took was called The Theology of Worship and Prayer, which sounds really boring, but it was actually fascinating and one of the most popular classes that ever happened, and people like queued to sign up for this class because it was a two-hour class per week. But hour number one was what you'd expect at like an academic university, and it was an hour of lecture, okay? But the second hour was like experiential, and so there would be a lecture on a specific aspect of worship or prayer, and that would be the first hour, and whatever we were lecturing on, then the second hour we would actually try it out and do it. So different kinds of prayer, different modes and ways of worshiping, and it was really, really popular for that reason. But it was also really popular because for one of the weeks, my pastor at the Evanston Vineyard, a guy called Steve Nicholson, absolute legend, my spiritual father, some of you have met him, would come and he would lecture on vineyard-style prayer, like the kind of prayer you'd see here or in a small group here where, you know, somebody would pray for you and actually expect God to do something, and somebody might get healed or somebody might have a prophetic word for you, or God could break in at any moment, and that kind of prayer with that kind of expectation. And you know, so that meant that excitement was ramped up, but also opposition was ramped up. Because as I said, the kind of theological university I went to was pretty conservative, and lots of professors and students didn't really believe that any of that kind of stuff would happen or should happen. And they thought churches like the Vineyard, who believe that God was active today and the kingdom could come, at best they thought we were off the rails, and at worst, you know, the lunatic fringe or something like that, right? And so there was like opposition. And so like Steve was coming, and I'll just be honest, I feared the worst because there were some pretty smart dudes that were showing up to this class. And these guys were doing like PhDs in New Testament. And, you know, they had just come from Greek and Hebrew class, and they were ready and they were up for it. And, you know, Steve is probably the wisest person I've ever met. He's super smart, but he's not like a scholar, right? And I just felt like, oh no, he's outgunned here, and I don't even know what I think, and these smart, cocky guys are really waiting to pounce. Even I'm unconvinced. Does Jesus actually give his ministry away to broken people like me? I don't even know what I think, and I just was like, this is going to get wild, right? So anyway, Steve gets up there, and he starts to teach through the Gospels and Acts, really simply. He talked about the kingdom, again, very simply, and he showed that not only was the kingdom of God the central message of Jesus, but he showed a progression of Jesus giving away the kingdom and his authority and this command from Jesus to his followers to not just announce the kingdom, but to demonstrate the kingdom far and wide wherever they went. And it absolutely changed my life. Like, talk about a potent hour. Like, it changed the course of my life. And I became convinced that Jesus gives his ministry away to anyone who loves and serves and has faith in him. And I learned the reality of Luke chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock," that's us, "your Father," it's God the Father, "has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Two important things there. Three, don't be afraid, that's important. The Father's pleased. He's not angry at you. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. Not just the Apostle Paul, not just the Apostle John, you, the kingdom. So I just want to run through some of the things that Steve ran through with me and a class full of combative, nerdy seminary students. And I want to look at this pattern and progression that Jesus intentionally invites us into his ministry. And part of living, it's part of living in his kingdom, part of being a disciple, is to be with Jesus and to do the things he did. And we need to make room in our lives to do that. So let's just get right to it. And of course, we believe that Jesus could do the kingdom stuff, right? Nobody really doesn't think that. And in our Kingdom of God series, we spent lots of time on the announcement that Jesus made that the kingdom of God it's here, it's at hand. And we looked at Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15, where Jesus begins his ministry. He bursts on the scene and he said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near," or "it's at hand," or "it's right in front of you. Repent and believe the good news." In other words, the rule and reign of God has come near to you, and Jesus is saying it's here now, and it comes in and through faith in him, the King of the kingdom. Okay? And he didn't just use words and like make a public service announcement or something like that. He demonstrated that it was actually here. And you can see through the Gospels, then he begins to heal the sick and he casts out demons. He speaks truth to power. He speaks good news to the poor. All the signs of the kingdom, he's demonstrating the reality of the kingdom. And you might be like, "Look, no problem. I get that. Jesus did that. Of course he can do that. He's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. What else you got for me?" Okay, I have a few more things. It doesn't stop there. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, okay? And this is Jesus calling his best followers to do the kingdom stuff, okay? Mark chapter 3. So this is him calling the 12 disciples. "Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons." A couple things to notice here. He wanted them. He wanted his disciples. If you're his follower, he wants you. If you're not his follower, he wants you to be his follower and he wants you to be with him. Again, he's not angry at you. He wants you. He wants you. So he wants them to be with him. And then also to be with him, which is this thing we talk about in BCV all the time, where we're to abide, we're to rest in the presence of Jesus. We're to have, we're not the slaves of Jesus, just to do whatever he says all the time. We have a relationship of deep friendship with him. And that relationship, that abiding, that resting in his presence, that comes first. Being entrusted with the ministry of Jesus and the warfare and works of the kingdom, that flows out of relationship with Jesus. And we talk about this from John chapter 15, verse 5. It's like the BCV verse, right? Where I'm the vine. This is Jesus talking. He's the vine. We're the branches. We're sustained by the vine, right? And he says, "If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." So we abide first. And from that, we bear fruit. It gets really weird when we do lots of stuff for Jesus, but don't spend lots of time with Jesus. We should spend lots of time with Jesus and then do what he shows us to do. There's a big difference between those two things. Well, back to Mark chapter 3. So next, the disciples are said to be with him, right? That's important. They're to abide in him. But then they're also sent. So part of following Jesus is staying close to him, but also it's realizing you're sent. You're a sent person. And John Wimber, again, instrumental in founding the Vineyard, would say, and we've been using this all the time in our Kingdom series, we are worshipers of God and rescuers of men and women. So we're worshipers of God. So we're with God. We're with Jesus. We're close to him. But from that place, we go out and we rescue men and women for his kingdom's sake. So they're sent. Well, what were they sent to do? Well, one of the things they're sent to do is preach. Okay? What would they preach? Well, they preached the same message Jesus preached, that the kingdom is now at hand. Back to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. The word for preach in verse 14 of Mark chapter 1 is the same word as preach in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. You're supposed to go out and preach. You were supposed to go out and preach the same message that Jesus preached. They're sent to announce the kingdom, just like they'd seen Jesus do. They didn't have to make up something to go preach on. They preached what Jesus preached, the kingdom of God. And now he's intending them to go and do this, and he's intending to give them his authority to proclaim the good news that God is ruling and reigning in Jesus, and then to actually plunder the house of the enemy by setting free those he has in bondage. Some of you know what it's like to feel like, I'm in bondage to something. I'm in bondage to something dark. Well, part of the mission of Jesus was to liberate the captives of the darkness. And he's blessing and he's calling his disciples to announce the kingdom and again get busy liberating people who are bound up by darkness. So he gives away his authority to do his ministry, and he does it gladly to his followers who belong to him and love him and follow him and put their faith in him. And part of being with Jesus is doing the works of Jesus, because friendship with him brings authority. If you want more authority, be closer to Jesus and he will gladly give it to you. Now, you might be saying, listen, this was just the calling of the 12. And by the way, it's the 12. It's not like me. It's like the big guys, the 12 disciples of Jesus. And it was just calling. Like I've been to church. Like, we talk about all this time stuff all the time, and we don't actually do it. Right? So did they do it? Well, they did. We find out that Jesus sends his best followers to do the kingdom stuff. He doesn't just call them to do it. He sends them to do it, and they actually do it. He sends them on a little ministry trip to go do some things without him. So turn in your Bibles or on the screen or in your phone or whatever to Luke chapter 9. And here we go, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Let's see if I can find it in my old-fashioned Bible here. Luke chapter 9, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's interesting. So they get authority from Jesus and they get a message from Jesus. So announce the kingdom of God is here in Jesus. That God's present and he's saving people and he's delivering people from bondage to darkness. He's healing the sick, he's casting out demons, and he's inviting people to repent and believe the good news of the kingdom. So go and just do all that stuff. And so they went. And they did it. And it actually went well. And what you need to know is at this point in the Gospels, the disciples have gotten more things wrong than they've gotten right. But they're sent anyway. Before they are perfect or even good at this kingdom stuff, they got sent out to do it without Jesus. They just went with his authority. Goes very well. Verse 6 says, they set out and went from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Well, that's interesting. But again, you might be like, fine. Look, I get it. It's easy to think Jesus could do it and he would give his authority and his ministry to his closest disciples. But like, those are the elite guys. Fine. They did it. I get it. But what about me? I'm not them. Right. Okay. Let's just go over one chapter to Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And if you skip down to verse 8, what does he tell them to do? When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. So he tells them to have lunch. That's really good. But then he says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay, 72, not 12. Jesus sends many followers to do the kingdom stuff. And it tells us you didn't have to be part of the elite inner circle to be able to do and to be expected to do what Jesus did. And again, the core of their message is this announcement of the kingdom, accompanied by a demonstration of the kingdom. Many more are given the ministry of Jesus, the authority to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom, to cast out demons, to go out and proclaim peace in the name of God, that his kingdom is here, and that God wants relationship with you, and he's making a way through Jesus, and you get to come unto him and come now. And verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So it went really well. And by the way, when we do the works of Jesus, we get the joy of Jesus. So if you want more joy in your life, do what Jesus is doing. Now, you might be thinking, okay, fine. 12, yeah, 72, fine. But it's still like the Bible, like famous Bible people. And like that was then, this is now. So really? Really? Well, the next place Steve took me was showed that Jesus blesses and commissions all of his followers to do the kingdom stuff. He took us to Matthew chapter 28, which theologians, and you've probably heard this before, is the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission. So Jesus is about to depart and leave them with his Holy Spirit. He's about to go to the right hand of the Father. And he says this. He gathers his followers and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is Jesus speaking to his apostles, who by the Holy Spirit he uses to establish and grow his church that will extend from that point of the Great Commission out to even this present day. So it extends to everyone else, including you and including me. It's kind of like the job description of a disciple, or the job description of disciples who are gathered into this thing called a church. Okay? And there's just some interesting things here. Jesus says all authority has been given to him. So at this point, Jesus has defeated the powers of sin and death and the enemy by going to the cross, suffering for us, dying and rising on the third day. And now he's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father to advance the rule and reign of his kingdom on this earth through those who follow him, which is you and me. And so we are to go. We are sent by the King to make disciples with his authority. We're to tell them and to show them that there is a new King of a gracious, eternal kingdom who loves you and created you. And we're to invite them to be Jesus' apprentices or followers or disciples who learn how to live his kingdom life right now. And we're to baptize them or immerse them into the life and love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So baptism to the church is really super important. And if you've begun following Jesus and you've never been baptized, let's fix that. We would love to have a baptism service and baptize you so you can speak to me about baptism. So it also says we're to make these disciples, right? But we're to teach them. We're to teach them what? To obey everything Jesus commands, right? That's what it says. Well, what did Jesus teach and what did he command? And you might be like, well, he talked a lot in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's really good. We should be teaching and preaching on all that stuff. It's kind of like the ethics of the kingdom and how to live life following Jesus. And he talked an awful lot about things like forgiveness, and we should probably teach on that, and that's true and good and right and all that stuff. But another thing he commanded his disciples to do, we've already seen. He commanded them, and he sent them to announce that the kingdom of God has come and then to demonstrate that it's come. He blessed them with his ministry and his authority, and he said, now you go do it. He commanded them to preach. So in other words, we're told to go and make the kind of disciples that Jesus himself made, disciples that carry on his mission of proclaiming and demonstrating his kingdom of love and hope and freedom. The ministry of Jesus is given away freely to his closest followers, to his wider circle of followers, and to the entire church, and to you and to me. And we are part of whom, of those of whom the first disciples discipled in obedience to the Great Commission. Like, we are the descendants of that moment. And just like the first disciples, we also receive the promise that Jesus gave them. Like, I am with you, even to the end of the age. I am with you by the power of my Holy Spirit who lives within you. I'm with you, so go, and go in my authority. And I trust you, and I commission you to go in my name and in my authority. And just like the Mark passage we looked at, we are called to be with him, to be close to the king, and to then go out announcing and demonstrating his kingdom with authority. And you might be like, okay, you're wearing me down, but I haven't given in yet. You got Jesus and his disciples and a bunch of other disciples. They did it. And then Jesus commissioned us all through these disciples in Matthew 28. But did they actually do it? Or again, was it like church where we hear a bunch of stuff and we kind of pick and choose what we actually put into practice? Did his disciples do anything with it? Well, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, this is Jesus. This is in the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension at the right hand of the Father. And what does he talk to them about? He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So he's like gearing them up. You're going to get my spirit. You're going to plant my church. You're going to lead my church. It's going to expand to the ends of the earth. And you need to know about the kingdom of God. Okay, that's interesting. Fast forward to Acts chapter 8, verse 12. You have Philip in Samaria who, like, he goes wild and the kingdom actually comes. And like, how does he do this? Well, he proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And people are baptized, both men and women, and the kingdom comes in power when he proclaims the kingdom and then demonstrates it. That's pretty interesting. Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary church planter the world has ever seen. What does he do? Well, he enters the synagogue and he speaks boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He leads with the announcement of the kingdom. Acts 28, verse 31. This is Paul again. He's now in Rome. He's gotten all the way to Rome. This is before he's martyred in Rome, right? And what do we see him doing? For 2 whole years, he stayed there in his own rented house. Sounds nice in Rome, right? Welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Notice something. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus instructs his apostles about the kingdom of God, and he's releasing them. Acts chapter 28, verse 31 is the last verse of the book of Acts. And Paul, who's planted church after church after church, and now he is talking about the kingdom of God. It's like the kingdom of God is the bookends to the book of Acts. It's probably pretty important. And all of the churches that have been planted from then until now, all those disciples that have been made from then until now is because Jesus gives his kingdom ministry away to his friends and to his followers, and you are his friends and his followers. And back to my story in a lecture hall a long, long, long time ago. So my friend, my pastor Steve, came to the end of this talk and like the academic portion of the talk, and I was pretty stunned because I had not even seen this progression in the scriptures, and I was just sitting there with head in hands like, if this is true, I need to give everything to this. Because I saw there this pattern and progression that meant everyone is to be engaged in the announcement and advancement of the kingdom and that Jesus gives his ministry away. He's very pleased to do that. He is unconcerned about my brokenness. He's unconcerned about my lack of experience. He's not worried that I don't know everything. He's just giving it away to people like me. So I was pretty stunned. But then a couple of the ones who wanted to argue started to do that yes, but thing, right? Where it's like, good point, yes. Not sure what I think about that, but I'm pretty sure I disagree with it kind of thing, right? And they were getting ready to quote the Greek New Testament, Adam, and all that stuff, and then it got wilder. And instead of arguing with them, Steve just said, well, why don't we just see if this kingdom thing is really real? And he closed his Bible. And then what he did is he said, is anybody here sick or injured? And one of the mockers jumped up with an injured, like, shoulder or arm. I can't remember which it was. I know it was something like that. And he was kind of laughing because he didn't believe that God would heal him or that God healed today or that we should be praying for the sick or this kingdom stuff. He just didn't buy it. And so he just jumped up. He's like, well, I do, but, like, what are you going to do about it kind of thing, right? And then Steve's like, fine, great. And then he kind of doubled down because he was like, anybody want to, you know, pray for him that you're not really sure this works at all? And another skeptic jumped up and said, well, I will. And Steve's like, great, well, you come up here and you pray for him. So you have somebody who doesn't believe they can get healed, and you have somebody praying for them who doesn't believe they'll get healed either. And Steve's just like unconcerned, right? He's just fine. I'm like, this is not going well. I felt under pressure and uncomfortable. And anyway, so Steve's like, right, okay, you know, and he just says, like, look, take your hand and put it on the place where it's hurt, all right? And I'm just going to invite God's kingdom to come. And then I'm just going to tell you what to pray. You pray what I tell you to pray. And I'm like, that's a bad plan. Like, how's that supposed to work? So Steve, did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, Lord, let your kingdom come here now. And we began to pray for so-and-so. And absolutely nothing happened. And I was like, oh, this is really weird. But Steve, again, he was really relaxed. And he's like, okay, we'll just start praying this and praying that. And all of a sudden, the injured guy, you could tell, like, his countenance changed. And he wasn't, like, laughy, mocky anymore. It was like something serious started to happen to him, and you could see it on his face. And Steve's like, oh, what's going on with you? And he was like, I can feel a lot of heat on the spot where I'm injured. And Steve's like, oh, that's really interesting. Does it hurt anymore? And he's like, no. He's like, oh, well, let's keep praying. That's really interesting. And then the guy doing the praying, he starts to weep. And Steve's like, well, what's going on with you? And he was like, I don't know. I can feel the heat that he's talking about. I can feel like something's happening in his body. I can feel it. And Steve's like, oh, that's interesting. And he's like, and I just feel warm. I just feel like I'm being loved. And Steve's like, yep, that's the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. That's what's happening to you. Like, God's kingdom is here in power. Maybe Jesus gives his ministry away. And these guys had their lives and ministry trajectories radically changed. The guy that was doing the praying that deeply encountered the love of God for him whilst he was ministering to the other guy planted a vineyard church. He's still in ministry today. It radically changed the trajectory of my life because I was like, I got to go all in here. The ministry of Jesus is for everyone who is his follower and his disciple. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but he might as well be speaking to you. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Jesus freely and generously gives his salvation, his healing, his life, freely to those who give him their allegiance and their followership in faith. And he also gives away his authority and his ministry and his kingdom freely for us to receive. And as a response, we then freely give all of that away in every single way he asks us to everyone around us. Now, I just want to say to you, if you're not following Jesus today, like, we are so glad you're here. But I just want to say that, like, this is such good news to you from Jesus. And I think it's good news because we live in a world that's just obsessed with identity. And this news from Jesus gives us the truest and most robust foundation to know who we are, to have our identity grounded in Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven of our sin and the brokenness, that we can be safe and secure in the kingdom of a God who loves us and cares for us forever, that's what's true about you, that's where your life can be rooted in, instead of the secular materialists that say, you're just a bag of meat and some chemicals and some cells and stuff. But even better than that, it means not just do you have a true identity, you have a purpose. Like, God has a mission for you. He doesn't just like you. He wants to trust you with his ministry. He's got real life for you. And in a world that is just constantly, we're asking, what is life even about? And what is life for? And is it even worth it? Jesus stands before you to say, you were made for something greater than yourself. And greater for the greater than the latest gadget or thing on Netflix or sporting event or whatever it is. We are made to live under the reign of Jesus and to serve him, but also to help advance his gracious, loving rule and reign on the earth. The kingdom of God is a place of purpose and action, and we get the blessing of unique callings and vocations and assignments from Jesus, and that heaps honor and dignity upon your life because it's Jesus giving you purpose. You get to do something about the brokenness that we encounter and see every single day of our life with the authority of Jesus as his follower and his disciple. And I just want to say to you, if you've just never made that decision to become his follower, it's all true. That's my testimony. That's the testimony of lots of people here. It's all true. And if you're not a follower of Jesus or you've been away from him for a long time, like I would just say, come to him today. And in a second, we'll give you a chance to do that. For all of us, though, I just want to ask you the question, what if Jesus actually trusts you with his ministry? What if he trusts you with the good news about his kingdom? What if he trusts you to then go and demonstrate it in thousands of different creative ways? What if that's true? And what if we went from being unconvinced that I can and should expect it and pray for it and watch for it and seek it and what if we just stepped out of that place of unbelief and stepped into a place of belief? What would change? I think a lot would change. So as we finish with this series, we're not finished with the kingdom. We're never going to be finished with the kingdom. We're going to be in the kingdom for eternity. We're never done with it. But this talk that I've given, this Jesus gives his ministry away to his friends and his followers, it's like our birthright. It's like our charism of our movement and of the church universal. That Jesus trusts us and he's commissioned us to announce and demonstrate his kingdom. And we can and we must make space to be with the king and do what he asks of us. I just want to end with this quote. We can't do the works of the kingdom and the warfare of the kingdom and survive in the kingdom without abiding in the presence of the king. If we do that, we can bear much fruit, our joy will be complete, and we will see the kingdom come. So I want to ask you, will we do this? Will we live as Jesus' trusted friends and disciples, worshipers of God and rescuers of men and women who watch for the presence of the future, Jesus' kingdom coming in absolute fullness, breaking into this present evil age? Will we give our lives to that? Will we freely give away what we have freely received? And will we remember, will become awakened to the fact that everything we have freely received, and will we let that mobilize us into kingdom ministry? As I've prayed for you this week, there's a number of things that I think God wants to do in ministry. And if you've never been here before, you're like, what on earth is that? It's just there's going to be some people up here. They're trained to pray for people, and they would love to pray for you. So we just come alongside to pray for you and encourage you in a couple of different areas, and that's all it is. But they will pray with expectancy, like they expect that Jesus will actually do something right here, right now. So we're a people of expectancy. So I just felt like there's some of us that we're not following Jesus. And I just want to, again, say to you that Jesus freely and generously gives his salvation, healing, and life to anyone who will give him their allegiance and followership and faith. And I felt like as I've prayed, I felt like there would be people here who the main thing you would articulate about what's inside you is emptiness. Like this world, it's just empty. And it's like, what is this all about? And the things I kind of put my trust in, I'm realizing they can't fill this emptiness. And I just want to tell you that Jesus is the only thing that can. And when you give your life to him, he will fill up what is empty. Bruce Springsteen said, everybody's got a hungry heart. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. So you can eat and be filled. And if you want to become Jesus' follower, there'll be people up here, or you can grab somebody near you and say, how do I follow Jesus? And we'll pray for you. If you're not ready to do that and you want to like investigate this for yourself, that's totally cool. And I would say you should just start reading the Gospels. You would just start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, and all that stuff. And if you're like, I would love to do that, but I don't have a Bible. I know nobody having a Bible in Northern Ireland is a bit weird, but believe it or not, lots of people don't have Bibles. And if you're like, I don't have a Bible, where do I get a Bible? I will give you a Bible right here, right now. And you can just start reading the Bible and investigating Jesus for yourself. Also, there's some other folks here who, when I told that story of Steve and healing, you're like, I want to do that. Some of you are like, I'm injured or I'm sick and I want to be healed. And no matter what, I think there's space for you to be empowered for healing or to be healed, and we want to pray for that. Others of you, you got a real pain in your heart as I've been talking, because you're like, I've tried to do it. I stepped out. I did it. And it feels to me like nothing happened and I'm wounded, and this is a really sore talk for you. And I just felt like this week, as I was praying over this talk, that there would be some folks that that's the cry of your heart. Like, I tried, I did it, and I did, nothing happened. And I felt like I heard from the Lord about that passage where Jesus is on the shore and his disciples have been fishing all night, and they come back, they've caught nothing. Jesus teaches for a while, and then he tells them to go fishing again. And they're like, we're wrecked. We fished all night, we didn't catch anything, and it's daytime, we don't catch fish in the daytime. And Jesus says, put down your nets on the other side. And Peter says, because you asked me, I will. And I just feel like we're in a new season. We're stepping from winter into spring, and Jesus is standing before us, and there's mystery into why things don't happen at a certain time and why they might happen now. I can't pretend to tell you all the details of these great mysteries, but I can tell you that if the Master looks at you and says, let your nets down on the other side, we should do that. And we just want to pray for you the strength and power to go again, and the healing for those times where it's been hard and bruising and it felt like nothing happened, and empowering for strength and more. Others of you, you don't believe that you're trusted. You've heard the voice of the enemy. He's been shouting at you, who do you think you are? And you're just unconvinced. And I just feel like today is a day to just stop listening to that voice and start listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus, who gives his ministry away and who trusts you with it. And I just want to call you, like, we need you. We need you in the fight. We need you in the battle. We need you active in the kingdom of God. And I would encourage you to draw a line in the sand today. I'm not listening to the voice of the enemy. I'm listening to the voice of the Lord, and I'm going to go for it. Whether I know everything or I know nothing, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to step into this kind of life, and we want to pray for you to silence the voice of the enemy in your ears and also to empower you just to go and to begin a new phase of your life. Others of you, you're not making space for Jesus. You're trying to work hard for Jesus. I'm not going to labor the point. I'm just going to say to you, we're men and women, we're adults, it's time to make space. It's time to be in the presence of Jesus before you do work for Jesus. So be in the presence of Jesus, make space for him, and then do what he tells you to do. And we just don't have any time anymore for just, I don't got any space. Well, make some. We could do that. Okay, moving on. And we'll pray for you. That's the nice. We'll pray nice prayers about that. That was a bit hard. We'll make it nice, okay? And then lastly, I just had a sense there's people here where you do big things at work, or you have a big stuff happen in your family, and there's not many Christians around. And it's not like you can stand up in the staff room and announce the kingdom of God. Like, that's probably not going to go well for your career or something like that. I just had a sense that for you, that there's an anointing, and we want to pray for you to do the ministry of Jesus there in the setting of culture, where you can challenge things in healthy ways and bring health. And the phrase I had here was that you get to set an ecosystem of the kingdom of God and the health of the kingdom of God in the place where you work. And that is going to bear super long-term fruit where seeds of the kingdom are planted. And if that's you, we want to pray for you. So if you're trained to pray in our church, would you come up now? I'm going to pray over us. If you don't have a Bible, I've got a Bible for you. If you have absolutely no idea where to begin on following Jesus, I've got a book for you on here's where you could start to spend time with Jesus so you can get all that. But these wonderful people want to pray for you. Don't miss this opportunity. Lord Jesus, would you cause people to come into your kingdom right now? that people would decide to give yes or to come back to you. Would you heal the sick now? Would you anoint and empower us? And I pray, Lord, that this would be a watershed moment where so many of us decide to move from I am unconvinced to I am totally convinced and I'm going to give it a go with my actions. Lord, would you help us to make space for you? Would you stand before each one of us and say, let your nets down again? And may we step into springtime and shake off the snow and the ice of winter. Lord, bless our families and our workplaces, and may we see the kingdom come. And Lord, we step into this place and we say, we recognize that you're for us, that you're pleased to give us this kingdom. You're not angry with us. Lord, help us to please you and to move forward in strength and power. So empower the vineyard, empower your church to see your kingdom come today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.